he is. And how you are an illusion with many masters pulling a lot of strings.
This is tape number 4, April 9th, 1995.
Could you elaborate on that, Commander?
Yeah.
I knew it.
Well, it's why I win. You see, there's a situation here where you have thought control, thought projection, thought manifestation. And there is no way that any of you can listen to any of this and realize that every split, tiny part of what you consider time cannot be. I speak, or she speaks as I think, and it's already memory. Now, to go into an experience, a manifest experience, or a circumstance, you have got to either go back into the memory or to what you perceive the future, which is also simply memory. It is already a thought projected in manifest form. We're going to just put a little teaser in here and say, all right, now you can have the Trinity. You can have the lunar gods with their little horns. What are you actually dealing with? You are dealing with an overlord situation with its own overlords, with a capability of thought projection of a playwright. One will say, no, I'm going to take the world, sir, and I'm going to do it through horrendous manners. I'm going to do it through your pocketbook. Or you will have one that says, well, no, I'm going to do it through the religious orders. Well, I'm going to take this physical manifestation that has been projected by the thought of God, this big playing field, and I'm going to do thus and so with it. And then all the little lordlets come along and they're going to tamper and play and we're going to make all the money and we're going to do all of these things. But you can sit anywhere, close your eyes, and know nothing truly exists other than thought. But what am I saying, actually? How is it that if all of the tamperers are simply playing a different game to get to the goal, which is control of the physical plane, and to reach out and have little satellite things that they can play with, etc., why don't they actually win? They keep trying to build, quote, a master race, one that can function, and yet what they're building is an incomplete human. I don't care how beautiful. So what is the commodity that makes it life, that makes it right, that makes it God's play? Soul. You can manufacture a lot of things. And you can run the soul through many, many different tests and different structures and literally breed it out of the beings. But when the play gets too big and it's going to slop over into the universal order, it's not going to be allowed. So the Creator has the last word. You can play down there on all of these realms, all of these orbs. You can have a whole galaxy to play in before you get dangerous to the rest of the universal order. Meanwhile, ones with soul to experience and express will be allowed freedom of expression and choice and free will measure to measure and become moving through these realms of dimension. One, again, with Creator. You've been playing around, all of you, with soul for a long, long time. So what are you actually playing around with? You are playing around with the totality of thought. Projected, given life through light. So you become a compilation of light through the projection of creator thought. And if you have these negative energies, or I don't even like to call them negative energies, I respect what I consider my enemy. My real enemy, once again, boils right down to the Antichrist. So when we speak of my enemy, it very well may not be your personal enemy. And from that creator source, we split off here, and when things really get moving in your thought perceptions, I don't even call it intervention, because nobody's intervening yet. There will be individual intervention as requested, but I can go right back to what I said before. When it all comes down to it, all we have to do is pull the plug on your games. And when that happens, because of the souled expressions experiencing there that are still fragment attachments of the thought projection of God Creator, will suck you in just as quickly as you were put there. So you can see in all your calculations or non-calculations that God does win. And therefore, in the end, goodness wins and you start over, or whatever, you know, you want your scenario to read. Each of you are building your own little playlet. Each of you are investigating or experiencing within your little realm of things, and it's up to you what you do with this little realm of your personal individual expression. And if you allow someone else to make your play for you, you deserve it, whatever it might be. There are so many ways to have fixed the Simpson situation as to be laughable, and they've tried almost, you know, a whole bunch of them. There are so many alternative things. But you see, the overall goal is for the ultimate power over the physical plane. And therefore, to win, you must move yourself out of the physical plane and be able to understand and comprehend and function outside, in fact, becoming mind. God is mind. God is energy. God is mind. And he chooses to do whatever he thinks. But you see, in the positive light of total goodness, he will only think good things, and you ones will run around thinking all the little bad things you can. It's called experience, expression. So to expect you to have a scientific answer for what you are, how can you seem so real? Well, I want to tell you right now, you can project through holographic energy and holographic pictograph, a table, say, a chair. Turn off the power and the chair goes. That's, you know, that is a projection. Not anymore. Take it one step further, the table stays. And you have basically produced, but you have not created, you have produced a duplicate of a chair. So mind can do that, and mind can travel from one part of the galaxy to another. I would never waste time coming on a spaceship. Why in the world would anyone who can be there waste that time? And every pilot in the room says, because it's fun. And that's the only reason I can think to ever do it. So you have got to begin to think in terms of that hierarchy those overlords outside your realm of perception. Some of the ones of the highest committees on your place are not necessarily good or bad. And some of them have been around thousands of years. There isn't any such thing as death in those realms until they get ready to make passage. And many of them, to finish their chess game, will stick around or come back. And it seems like so far out science fiction that we can all roll on the floor now and laugh. It's also that silly. And then comes the time in the evolvement, let us say Atlantis, any civilization, where it's out of control. The game itself is forming a chain reaction in energy, life energy, that has to be confronted. And that's where you are. And you need to hear it. And you need to hear it from somebody else. Because we've got to begin to get you of the hierarchy pinnacle into thinking about how the game really is. And why you win. And why they will not, if you take control and power, interfere with you. Because God has the ultimate power. And it's a good power. It is a universal order of power. Go on, please.
So we were talking briefly about race manipulation through hoaxed energy shortage, energy crisis, and food shortage. We distribute the free energy catalog by Don Kelly, a compilation of close to 50 different technologies developed on our planet. Spinning, not spinning, moving parts, not moving parts, magnetic, electromagnetic, non-magnetic, solid state, and so on, that have been tested in the last 100 years. Tesla drove for 3 years his free energy driven electric car utilizing the T. Henry Morey converter, a vacuum valve box, not much different from a radio set. It can be produced on an assembly line like radio sets are produced. Special vacuum valves indeed that would channel energy out of the vacuum and would give enough power for the car to be driven around or to satisfy the energy needs of a family home. Victor Schauberger produced a similar system for his home that was running on water, closed loop, few gallons of water. You turn off all the pipes, this water starts circulating inside, and from a given critical point on, it starts generating its own energy. Secret studies in the United States adapted that system for car propulsion, and they were done in the, I think, mid-50s, by a revelation coming from a very interesting colonel that was the Oliver North equivalent in the Eisenhower administration, but instead of smuggling dope, guns to the Contras
and dope
back into the country and spare parts to God knows where, this guy was smuggling captured alien files, or that is what he was told, from the crashed alien ships in the late 40s here, to choice government labs that later produced from information contained in these files the first transistors, the first integrated circuits, the first lasers, the first this and that. So all this technology that came, and one technology that he mentioned that has not come to public yet, it has been developed quietly in private, is the magnetically, the atomically aligned alloys. Your engineering gets so miniature that you can put the atoms like bricks on a wall and build whatever structure you want, not from bricks, but from atoms. No technology, academic technology of this day can do that. Anyway, all of these technologies have been quietly tested, including the free energy propulsion of the Victor Schauberger type for cars, and we can talk forever. The Germans flew on free energy to Mars and to Aldebaran. All the German more advanced electromagneto-gravitic propulsion craft were utilizing the Hans Kohler converter, which is nothing more than a kind of a Star of David shaped electromagnets that are tuned by moving them in and out to get to the proper frequency, and that's it. No moving parts, no big deal. Special cores, specially wind coils, and you get power enough to fly 100-ton heavy dreadnought, the weight of a steam locomotive armed with a tank turret, around the planet to the moon and beyond for free. I interviewed extensively an academician in Moscow who is one of the few bosses of the defense, secret Russian defense establishment, professor, doctor of the physical sciences, full member of the Russian Academy of Sciences, and on and on and on. You can list his titles for half an hour. He had 80,000 people working under his control in 450 research institutes in the last, just up to 5 years ago. He worked on anything you can think of: aerospace, ICBMs, nuclear subs, the space program. By his own admission, the energy equivalent of free vacuum, namely the energy that can be squeezed out of 1 cubic centimeter, which is about, what is it, like 1/6, 1/8 of a cubic inch, a fraction of a cubic inch, 1 cubic centimeter of physical vacuum, which is when you remove all the particles and all the fields and all the everything and there's nothing, this total nothing, by admission of academic science these days, has energy of the equivalent of 10 to the 95th power of cubic centimeters of gasoline. I mean, the energy equivalent is calculated in gasoline, like coal. 1 cubic centimeter of coal is equivalent to 10 cubic centimeters of gasoline. 1 cubic centimeter of uranium, when exploded, is equivalent to 10 to the about the 10th or something like that power. So 1 with 10 zeros of cubic centimeters of gasoline of energy would come out of cubic centimeters of uranium. Vacuum has an energy equivalent of 10 to the 95th power, which means 1 with 95 zeros. I don't even know the name of the number that has 95 zeros behind it. This is an energy that would be enough to melt and to evaporate our planet, the sun, the galaxy, and probably beyond. And this is what we can squeeze out of every cubic centimeter of vacuum around us. All the free energy devices that we know are so crude with that energy potential of vacuum, they barely nudge the 100% efficiency, 100.0001%, 101%. If they are really good, they would drain so much energy out of the vacuum that it would be a monumental explosion that, as I said, can destroy the whole planet. So all this energy crisis is a very clever hoax on many levels. The oil companies don't want to lose their monopoly. The few banking families, the family of the red caps that controls these oil companies with the controlling shares that owns them, doesn't want to lose their total grip, suffocating grip on the planet. The secret societies that are above the bankers don't want to lose their control, because by controlling the energy, they control us politically. The aliens above them and the celestial managers above them don't want to have been playing this hoax of the energy crisis, because how can we convince anybody on the planet that it is time to start reducing the population if there is no energy crisis at all? Along very similar lines, we can talk about food crisis. I can give a dozen alien technologies developed for planets that have 100 times our population per square kilometer or per square mile per planet. Our planet can support by that technology, and that is a little bit more advanced than ours. We can easily do it with our engineering capability. Our planet would support with their technology not 5 billion but 500 billion, half a trillion people. And still on their planet, 90% of the area is used for recreational, for nature reserves. So efficient is the technology, and so efficient the housing and everything. There are such technologies of unlimited number in the universe. All you have to do is flip your fingers, and there won't be any shortage of alien races to come to your rescue and give you that technology. And many of these technologies have already been given to the governments and the secret governments, but they would ruin their equation. So by using the energy hoax and the food crisis hoax, they have been able to convince everybody, and by the artificial destruction of the environment. A few words about ecology. The book report from the Iron Mountain is the best book introduction into the conspiratorial ecology, which basically points out to a secret government meeting that decided almost 30 years ago that when the time of global peace comes and when the external military danger, the Russian danger, disappears, we would have to invent and create artificially a new danger. Possible candidate dangers are the alien threat and the ecological threat. The ecological threat is the sister threat of the alien threat. By the government dragging its feet on purpose and effectively destroying the environment on purpose, they were able to convince us. On top of that, we can add the energy crisis and the food crisis, food shortage. They have effectively been able to convince us that we have to limit the population. So where do we start from? Obviously, all the white people will say, gee, why don't we start from Africa? Obviously, we are not going to start from the white people. After Africa is gone, well, who's next? Who's next? Well, what's wrong? Why don't we start from Asia, the yellow people? So this has been the Illuminati way of planetary racial management. I'm for a one-race planet. All the alien planets are like that. Sooner or later, we would become a one-race planet. On a global planetary level, this is the goal of all these genetic implantations by the Trinity, by the others, higher levels of celestial management structures, of the lower level of aliens that also did genetic implantations, and even of all these monkeying around and destroying what the higher levels have created genetically on the planet. Still, all of this combined is aimed at producing a new and unique race. You see them on Star Trek. There are no two pieces of ears, they are identical. Every planet comes with a different type of ears. This is not a fantasy. That's how the universe works. Very rarely you would find two planets with absolutely the same color or shape or composition of everything. So I am for a one-race planet, but not in this way. Encourage interracial marriages. Discourage marriages among the same race. There are so many ways to do it. And so on. So this is what I think about overpopulation. It's a total hoax. It's the biggest hoax, because behind the scenes, the master race is ready in waiting in the South Polar Colony. The city of New Berlin has these days a population of 2 million people. Tall, blonde, blue-eyed Nordics of Atlantean / Pleiadian extraction that are ready to repopulate the planet. So we are not only useless eaters and subhuman pigs by our IQ coefficients, but we are also subhuman pigs by our genetic indicators. The human genome that would eat $10 or $100 billion in the whatever years is another hoax, because they've been working on race manipulation through radio frequential genetics for almost half a century in the South Polar Colony and at other Frankensteinian underground research places. The American huge system of underground bases, in Russia they have similar systems. There is a Frankensteinian island in Russia, north of the Arctic Circle, close to the Bering Strait, which is called the Wrangel Island. That's the Russian Frankensteinian gulago there. And all of these, I mean, what the Germans were doing in their bases with aliens, what the Americans are doing in their bases with aliens genetically, and what the Russians have been doing, and everybody else on the planet from the secret societies, this is a global planetary program. These are not small, scattered projects. On the contrary, this is a multi-planetary program coordinated by the aliens that is run simultaneously on dozens, maybe hundreds of planets that all belong to the independent angelic presence. And they all take part in this competition to outperform the Trinity and the other higher levels of celestial management into the creation of a better planetary race from their viewpoint. Briefly, now I would talk about, enough about genetic engineering for the time being, we finished with the secret societies, with their technologies, and with their hoaxes and spin control. And this is only the backbone. I mean, we can talk about this for hours if we have to list all the bigger and smaller projects or hoaxes that have been going on the planet. I would like to talk now about secret societies as subcontractors for higher levels of alien beings. Basically, my feeling is that all the secret societies on the planet were created in the very first place for that, to be the low-profile, low-key interface between our planetary civilization and an alien culture elsewhere. Stan Deo, in his book Cosmic Conspiracy, cites none other than J. Edgar Hoover, who got an irresistible itch somewhere in the 40s or 50s to figure out who the hell the 10 members of the Illuminati Politburo are. So after lengthy... So J. Edgar Hoover got his irresistible itch. Who the hell the 10-member Illuminati Politburo are? And after lengthy surveillance, he pinpointed 8 of them. The other 2 were bordering on the paranormal. What does this mean? They would count 8 people go in the building and 8 people leave, but around the table there would be 10 of them. So, obviously, these other 2 were not living permanently in the building, locked. They are not allowed to get out, like all the Russian operatives in the Russian embassies abroad are locked for a year, for 5 years sometimes. They cannot leave the embassy alone. I mean, read about Russian intelligence books, you'll be amazed what they do to their guys. But anyway, what I think is, I mean, Sandeo got an incredible glimpse wherever he got his information from. This is the biggest conspiracy researcher from Australia, and a graduate from the Colorado Springs Air Force Academy, where, among other things, they were being force-fed 10,000 pages an hour during using the Lozanov sleeping method. You sleep or they play some tunes and take your attention elsewhere, and in the background there is a sound that pumps 10,000 pages an hour into your subconscious. So maybe he has gotten something from there. But anyway, he's a well-connected researcher. These 2 members of the Illuminati Politburo that were bordering on the paranormal were nothing more, in my opinion, than aliens that would beam down for each meeting and then would beam up. I have heard even stories that high levels of beings of non-material origin, independent angels, standing angels, fallen angels, you name it, they probably come to these meetings, would materialize for these meetings. I've heard even stories that Lord Maitreya materializes into the more important meetings, like the one that took part between Gorbachev and Bush on that cruiser, American cruiser, 6th Fleet, Mediterranean Fleet, near Malta, I think. So all these secret societies, their hierarchies go beyond the planetary level into the alien level, and beyond the alien level into the super material angelic level. That's what this semi-transparent capstone of the pyramid means. The lower two-thirds or whatever part of the pyramid are the one made of material stones, the bricks. This is the physical hierarchy. But beyond that, we have the invisible, semi-material hierarchy of the aliens and the beings above them. So, aliens on the planet. I think that when Billy Meyer said that we are visited each year by about plus minus 3,000 different alien races, he wasn't very wrong, which would come to about 6 million civilizations since the time of Christ alone, about 3 million per 1,000 years. In the quarter of a million years since the Lucifer Rebellion that happened 250,000 years ago, according to the Urantia book, 250,000 by 3 million per 1,000 years, what is it like? Well,
quite a bit.
A billion races have visited us, talking about downtown Manhattan traffic. Most of them would never come to the planet again. Most of them, 99% would never. Not because they hate us, but simply they have too much to travel, and that's it. They zoom through our galaxy, through our universe, through many universes. But there are so many races that have permanent presence on the planet, under the planet, underwater, on the moon, in other parallel dimensions and realities. You name it, they're probably there. So with all these aliens, I have noticed, trying to figure it out, how the system works, that there are certain different types of aliens behavior-wise. Let's take the official party line of the American contacts. Little Greys. It's the Greys, only the Greys, and nobody else but the Greys. If you read carefully the official party liners here, like Bud Hopkins, Linda Howe, and many others, that's it. It's the Greys, only the Greys, and nobody but the Greys in the universe. And the American government is the luckiest of them all, because our great foreign diplomacy and celestial diplomacy was, interplanetary diplomacy was able to secure this planetary first for our government, the first contact with aliens. This is the party line here. It is very politically incorrect in UFO circles to talk about other aliens. That's why Wendell Stevens got in trouble, because he investigated the Billy Meyer case for 5 years. He investigated the Bill Herman case, that abduction video there, for 7 years. Among other things, Bill Herman said that his aliens that were very benevolent, extremely careful, and once he told them he doesn't want to see them, he's never seen them again in his life. They told them that they came from Zeta Reticuli. So all this hoax about the little grays coming from the Zeta Reticuli is just that, nothing more than a hoax. That's why probably Wendell Stevens got in trouble, because he pulled the carpet from under one of the biggest spin controls in American ufology, the origin of the little gray race. My feeling is that, despite the fact that there are probably thousands, if not millions, of little gray races in our galaxy alone, still, the best candidate for the origin of the little grays on the planet are the test tubes of the Illuminati. I have a feeling that these are genetically engineered biological robots, cyborgs, clones, whatever you want to call them, run by a supercomputer on board the craft with limited mental capacity. But you remember that in many of the little gray abduction scenarios, as depicted in official party line UFO literature, there is a tall, blonde, blue-eyed Nordic alien, the Nordics, that sits in the corner of the room, obvious master of the situation. That is pulling the strings of the whole abduction work. The little grays do the manipulations and the poking and so on, the abduct and rape scenario. I wouldn't be amazed that these Nordics, I mean, are coming from nowhere else but the German South Polar colony, and that with the permission of the American government, they are doing the same genetic experiment for a fourth time, not on 2 million people the way they did it there, or on 1 million the way they did it there in the 50s and 60s, but on 10 to 20 million Americans, the official number of abducted victims in this country. They're taking the creation of the master race to a new and higher level. That's my personal opinion of the little gray scenario. So, in America we have the abduct and rape story of the little grays, which obviously for any one of us, again reading only American party line literature, these are nothing more than moral, ethical, and spiritual cripples. An alien race that can do such horrific pain.
But we call them aliens. They're not aliens. Don't you hear what you're saying? They may have originated from some specific DNA structured alien, but they are replications. They are no longer alien. They are on your place. They are your inhabitants now. And they're locked there, just like you are.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely. I'm trying to reason from the viewpoint of the government party line. So even if they're aliens, these are moral, ethical, and spiritual cripples. We know these are not aliens, these are biological robots, but they are probably 20, probably 50 alien races that work shoulder to shoulder with the American government in the underground bases. Some of them are observers, but others are active participants in this abduction scenario. So even if the little grays are not aliens, then there are some aliens behind them which are the same moral and spiritual cripples.
No, there are a lot of humans behind them.
Absolutely true. It's a cooperation of aliens, the secret government, and so on. Even I would say it goes on not only on our planet, but on many other planets too.
And how much of this is actual memory implant in these people, and how much is actual abduction?
I think it's all of the above, but the super race goal is a lot more important than the mind control. They want to master the genetics of the planet, because this is an important lane of competition between the independent angelic presence that runs the aliens and some other higher levels of celestial management.
Wouldn't it be easier to implant memories into 20 million people than to have to physically abduct all those people and go through all that silly rigmarole?
No. They don't do that for the spin controlling of the planet. They do that for the actual genetic research and the creation of a master race. It's a valid, legitimate genetic research that they are doing, but not on several dozen individuals like the island of Dr. Moreau was done 100 years ago, or the several thousand individuals the Germans did in the concentration camps, or the one or several hundred thousand to a million that was done in the German South Polar colony 10 years later. But now they are doing it on 20 million, almost on a planetary level. It's important when you do a genetic research to have a large genetic variety of genetic traits. Every Mendelian geneticist would confirm to that.
But there's no point to it.
The absolute point is to figure out the secret of genetics.
They know the secret of genetics. Anyone with the capability of getting to this planet from across the galaxy already knows how to build a genetic person.
Absolutely true. Let me clarify on that. The Pleiadians did genetic experiment the very same kind almost 200,000 years ago on this very same planet.
Who said?
According to Billy Meyer.
Billy Meyer's not always correct.
And they themselves realized that they would rather leave the genetics to the higher levels of celestial management, to the gods themselves, to the angels themselves, and concentrated on other pursuits, because their results were dismal, so dismal that in some occasions they had to engineer a flood to wipe out the whole planet, to wipe the blackboard of the planet clean so that they would start the writing again. Actually, there have been many such civilizations on our planet that have been wiped out by higher intervention. The Waspy book talks about the civilization on the continent of Pan, somewhere in the middle of the Pacific, about 60-70,000 years ago, or according to the Waspy book, that was destroyed by higher levels of angelic managers because of their wayward ways. We have heard about city-sized destructions like Sodom and Gomorrah and Mohenjo-Daro in India and many such small city-sized civilizations. We have heard about continent-sized destructions like Pan in the Pacific and Lemuria and all these numerous nuclear wars that have been channeled to us through alien contacts. We've been told about planetary destructions like the planet Vilona, Malbec, that gave the asteroid belt between Earth and Mars in our solar system. We have even been told of star-sized destructions like that Eye of God remnant of an exploded star, destroyed star in the constellation Lyra, that forced the part of the Pleiadians to emigrate from there and to search elsewhere, and they came to Earth eventually, according to their story. So there are many such skeletons in the closet of the independent angelic presence on the planet. All of these destructions happened in the last quarter of a million years, well within the reign of the Lucifer Rebellion, which happened about 250,000 years ago. Obviously, it is not always the best solution for a planet to ram down the throat of an immature and young planetary civilization so many important technologies with the first part of my presentation. That's exactly what I tried to make a point, that there are so many and dangerous technologies that if they are abused, they can destroy the planet, they can destroy even the solar system. At the very beginning, I said I'll be talking only about the negative part of the equation. Because of all of this negativity, there are so many aliens that have nothing better to do in the universe but sit here and babysit us and prevent us from destroying the planet. But they have to do that, and often to remove information again, to delete it, so that the planet would not be actually destroyed.
Well, can I ask a question? You said you've been presenting just the negative side. What happens when you get to the positive side?
Can we, if I may, I'm about done. I have a few other things here to discuss and leave the questions for them. I may answer some of them. It will be easier to answer them from the overall, because I'm slowly climbing up the ladder, so to speak, of the universal management. So this is the picture that I see in the United States. Then I spent a month last year in Russia interviewing ufologists, contactees, doctors of sciences, and I was astonished at the totally... suddenly I realized, is this our planet? Or did I land on a different planet? Totally different nature of alien contacts. I have 50 hours of interviews. I don't have the time to translate them in English, but they will be available soon. Sooner or later I will translate them. Incredible interviews. In Russia, the aliens channel, there are aliens that teach advanced alien science classes and alien mathematics at an elementary school in Georgia. In the semi-visible state, you see a halo and you see something written appearing on the blackboard. I have a documentary film on that, which will be soon available. There are aliens that heal people, that channel music, healing music, art, healing art, poetry, advanced science, mathematics, and on and on and on. I can go forever. I photograph art that was channeled by aliens. I have tapes of music that was channeled and put arranged for a symphonic orchestra and so on. In one word, in Russia it's a totally different universe. They don't have abductions in Russia, period. They don't even have a word for abductions. You have to explain to a Russian specialist, to a Russian ufologist, for about 10-15 minutes what the hell the word abduction means, because in Russia they have joyrides. They have a long waiting list of people that are waiting to get abducted, to have their drug addiction healed, if their karma permits, of course. They have alien drug addicts anonymous organization in Leningrad, and I talked to several guys that have been totally cleared of their drug addictions. Waiting lines of government physicists and scientists waiting at the doors of these contactees that channel scientific information to have their questions answered. Waiting lines of medical personnel to get questions of their medical problems answered and so on. In one word, in Russia, I think all the aliens are coming from the other side of the equation, from the side of the light. Russia traditionally has been the thorn in the eye of the Western Illuminati community, among other reasons because Russia, its secret societies, and its whole tradition, and Asia behind Russia have been traditionally under the influence of the pacifistic philosophies of Shambhala, the center of light on our planet. Now, we will climb a step above the aliens into the supermaterial or the angelic managers of our planet, the resident angelic managers on our planet. The Shambhalians, which according to rumor are somewhere in Tibet, is basically the physical Shambhala is a monastery which is an invitation-only environment where maybe one student a year would be invited to get enlightened there. And a supermaterial Shambhala where the actual supermaterial beings reside. So, roughly half of the aliens that serve the forces of light are working or subcontracting for the Shambhalian presence on our planet. Definitely the Russian aliens.